SAFM 104 to 107 nationwide.
We continue the conversation on the Talking Point. Of course, we're still live from you, from out in Mamelodi. We've been part of the campaign this morning, by Salga Asi Show campaign, Let's Say It. And it's really responding, at least an attempt to respond to some of the social, the service delivery issues that communities are facing. Well, I'm now joined by some of the officials. They've literally moved straight from the stage onto the microphone. Please go ahead and put on those headphones, sir, so that we can get our conversation going. Let me welcome onto the show Councillor Bekestrofile, President of the South African Local Government Association. Good morning to you, sir. Thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you for having us.
All right. Let me also welcome the Honorable Thembinka Dimane, the Deputy Minister of the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs. Morning.
Good morning and good morning to you.
And let me also welcome Councillor Jungi Sizwe Glabati, who is the provincial chairperson of SALGA in Gauteng. Councillor Glabati, good morning.
Good morning, Sis Kitty, and good morning to the listeners.
So you guys decided to bring us out to Mamelodi in the middle of, we're not quite in the middle of winter yet, but it feels like it, right? We had to come out and freeze to talk about issues of local government. Let me begin with you, Dr. Stofile, a little bit more about this campaign. What is SALGA really hoping to accomplish here?
The first thing is to unite voices on matters that affect local government, and ask citizens to take ownership of their destination and to enter into conversation about how best to change the lives and the conditions in which they are facing, and also be responsible on matters that affect us. For instance, there are many matters that are happening in local government. We are seeing every day in social media destruction of municipal assets, the inability of sticking to what is required in terms of paying services. So we hope to have a continuous conversation. And, you know, as I've said earlier on, what we are attempting to do is to go back to basics. For the country to be where it is today and ultimately receive what we call freedom, it was because of the unity of purpose and unity engaging on matters that affect communities. And that is why ultimately in 1994 we had a democratic breakthrough and freedom in South Africa. So what we are intending to do really, it's about igniting a conversation amongst ourselves about how best do we turn local government around.
We've heard this concept of going back to basics before. In fact, I think there was a year that it was part of the theme for government, back to basics campaign, really. The reality is that we're coming off the back of what has been a dismal report by the Auditor General looking back at the term of the fourth administration. And Minister Ngadimeng, when we look at that report, what it says, and people ask the question, where are organizations like SALGA when the state of municipalities is like this? Where is COCTA when the state of municipalities is like this? And why is it that every 5 years the story is getting worse and worse, but we have these institutions, we have these departments that are supposed to be offering some level of support?
Oh, thank you, Kathy. Well, it's a fair assessment. It's a fair question as well. We all can't deny what the Auditor General came out to say just 3 weeks ago, to say there are only 26 unqualified audit with no matters of emphasis. And we must congratulate Councillor Dlabati. They are the only metro outgone, of course, that received a clean audit in South Africa. There are fundamentals, Kathy, that we need to appreciate, undertake, not only as COCTA, not only as SALGA, but as South African citizens. That is why we say local government is everybody's business. Mm-hmm. One, it's matters of accountability, which goes hand in hand with corruption. And I will cite issues of what has happened. For example, we have 47 cases in the Free State, in local government alone. of municipalities, some two, some three, some four, but action is being taken and recoveries are being done for the funds that have not been spent appropriately. Two, we've got issues of capacity. Three, we've got issues of funding of municipalities, which are skewed with regard to the mandate that they're supposed to get.
Mm-hmm.
I start with corruption because it's what it's topical and what we talk about. But in the essence of how you look into the fundamentals of local government, were the incorrect assumptions. They were correct at the time that municipalities must fund themselves 90%. Today, it's inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
High level of unemployment. Nothing seems to be able to add up for communities to carry themselves in a form of a municipality. But it's equally important to chase each and every cent that you have in the kitty and account for it appropriately. The issues of capacity that are intertwined together with the funding and the grading of municipalities, but also with lack of interest from people who are residing from areas which are not attractive due to convenience.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Mkanduli, they struggled to get an engineer properly accredited. Usually they find students who are on practicals, who after serving their practicals leave. So it's quite a number of systemic difficulties and complex issues which make municipalities dysfunctional.
Mm.
But it's not a forgivable crime not to spend money appropriately.
Yeah.
That one needs no debate.
The issue that we're seeing, Councillor Tabati, is not just of people not spending money properly, but you have a high number of municipalities that are taking money back to Treasury, which is in fact saying, and this is on the conditional grants, etc. And that is saying, that is also suggesting that the reason there is a lag in service delivery is that even where there's money that's allocated to build a road, that road is not being built. But there's money that somehow leaves the coffers and there's no clarity about whether this is irregular or fruitless and wasteful expenditure, because it all becomes so murky and it seems to be intended that way. Administratively, an organization like SALGA, what could you be doing to help municipalities address that issue and really speak to the capacity issue? By the way, Minister, which I think exists and also doesn't exist, I think that on some level municipalities create a capacity problem to enable them to continue with some of these behaviors, which is why it's a pattern that has been ongoing.
That's it, Katie. You know, SALGA has really done great work. It's just that its work has not been exposed enough. You know, the extent to which it has been providing support to municipalities to do better. And there are pockets of excellence that we can point to as a result of SALGA's intervention. And that is why this program today, part of what it's going to do is to expose the work of SALGA, its intervention, but also to say how do we collaborate to deal with some of the challenges. The issue of leadership is very important. The leadership must set a tone. Firstly, to say that as the leadership of the municipality, we will not tolerate any instance where money gets rolled over or it's taken back to National Treasury without substantive or valid reason why we could not spend the money. To that extent, is Katie, we must be clear that the leadership must be firm on issues of consequence management. So it requires the discipline of implementation, the firm stance that is coming from the leadership, that there are certain things that cannot be tolerated. The leadership must be clear of an institution that there shall be financial prudence and financial accountability. The leadership must be firm to say that performance information shall be accounted accordingly, and the leadership must be clear to say that there shall be a zero tolerance on issues of irregularities as it relates to supply chain management. So the point that I'm trying to drive home is that while SALGA is doing enough to give support to municipalities, but the leadership of municipality must be firm enough in setting the right tone and enforce the discipline on implementation on all the things that are imperative for municipalities to do better.
So Councillor Dabatu, what are you saying? Are you saying that, you know, you're taking the horse to the river, but you can't force it to drink, and that in most instances you're helping these municipalities in terms of knowing what the right thing to do is, how to do the right thing, but they simply are not enforcing it in the way that you would expect?
Well, it's not a general statement, but it's a point I am making, that where there are failures, we do need to zoom in into the leadership itself. Because once the leadership is firm and sets the right tone, says Katie, all shall be done. You know, an example in the city of Ekurhuleni, the leadership was quite clear that we don't want financial irregularities. The leadership was there that we shall be financially prudent, and that our SCM processes must be above board. So we were not found wanting when Auditor General came to us with the support that we got from SALGA. So it's true, SALGA is not a boss of municipalities, but SALGA is just but a partner that collaborates and gives support to municipalities. So there must be willingness from the leadership of the municipalities to the extent of making sure that there is discipline of implementation on all the imperatives.
Councillor, let me just add
practically
for you. SALGA trains all MPACs. You know, MPACs is our Municipal Public Accounts Committees. A scope in the normal language that we use. Capacitate them. In fact, they've finished the first round for this new gen of municipalities that have already established those committees. What is their responsibility? Is for oversight. Even before the AG comes, this structure, this committee must receive all the quota reports, must investigate them together with internal audit of that council, must bring their own reports to council, and must take appropriate action before the AG comes. Then you go to an MPEC in a municipality X. They've spent 21 million to build a stadium which is non-existent. What can SALGA do? You can possibly say they've trained them to know how to say no. And when the AG says, take me to the stadium, there's nothing. Right? They are examples of where there is a shortage of resources, say, no municipality. 8 clean audits in a row. Very small, very rural in the Eastern Cape. They come to SALGA. We are small. We need you to capacitate us. We need to train our MM. We need you to train our whatever. We need you to assist us with that. You give them that assistance and you get the return back. Mm-hmm. There are instances and we must accept it. And because law enforcement agencies must take their role and play it. There are instances where you capacitate, the result do not make a change.
And what is that gap? Because the Auditor General makes reference to the impacts, and she talks about how these committees are actually failing in their duty of oversight. And again, in many municipalities, they point to the issue of capacity, that these individuals are actually not well capacitated. So if you say, well, some of these committee members are trained to know what they should be doing, to be looking out for it, what then is the answer?
Well, the answer is not just, you need to understand it in the intricacies in what it is. Mm. This is a councillor who arrives on the 4th of November. Some have got highest level of education. Some have got the barest minimum. You work with what you have, unfortunately. So SALGA doesn't go out and say, we're having interviews for councillors next week and we're going to select from what we have. You get to receive from political parties of what makes council. Then there are laws which have been enacted. In fact, amended on the 1st of November. A mayor, for example, can't be a mayor of MPEC. A full-time councillor can't do this, can't do that. You are trying to even regulate the composition of this MPEC to strengthen it. Mm-hmm. And from there, you capacitate it to say, what does Section 52 mean? How do you compile it? How do you deal with the checks and balances of a council? How do you investigate? How can an MPEC not know that the stadium doesn't exist when 21 million passed through the council books. It's no longer about capacity, and that's what Councillor Tabati said. Yes, there are instances where capacity is sought, capacity is given, and you find results. And by the way, it's in many instances.
I want you to be explicit for me. What is the problem?
Maybe let me come in before the president comes. Yeah, the political parties themselves.
Yes.
And I think we must confront.
No, and that's what I'm pushing you guys to. Let me confront it. Yes.
We have now matured in understanding how local government is composed in terms of its structures. Mm. So I think in the recruitment of public representatives, it should be that we know that there's MPEC. You can recruit a Jongi Zizwe who's vested in finance and internal audit, because surely if you take him into council, that person can add value. So I'm really trying to say, let's confront the animal. The animal is that we are not recruiting public representatives who are fit for purpose given how local government is structured. I'm not sure if you understand, because there's no way you can recruit a person who does not have an appreciation of finance, and you expect that person to be a good representative insofar as COPA is concerned. And that is where we need to take our discussion.
Councillor Stofile?
I agree. Confront the elephant. Let's take a practical example. DM speaks about Ekuruwe. I want us to be meticulous when we deal with this matter, because the biggest mistakes that we do in these conversations is not to to attempt to scatter around dealing with the elephant in the room.
Yes.
In Ekuruwe, the mayor at Ekuruwe was a political leader of a political party.
Yes.
That is in control.
Yes.
Okay. That is why he was bold at Kurume to say, I want the systems to be S. And because he derived that power from that party. Okay. Now, take a municipality where the mayor is not a senior person. Okay. And counterpose that. What is going to happen? Okay. So what I'm saying is that what we must appreciate in all this is that, after all, when you make a final analysis, you'll find that it's more about politics of power.
Mm.
And as long as you're not dealing with that, you are going to get a wrong results every time. That is why in the NEC we said,
this is the Salga NEC.
Yes. That is why in the NEC we said, Auditor General's report has interpreted the situation. The biggest challenge that you must confront head on is to how to change it.
Mm.
I think he's saying, if the statement and the commitment comes from leadership, this is what we said in the NEC. We are members of the NEC 31 coming from municipalities. In the report presented by Auditor General, paint a bleak picture about our municipalities. Now we must account, Labat is coming from Ekuruwe, must tell us why the municipality where he is, there's a bad performance. Stofile come from a municipality. So and so come from a municipality. That is the issue that I think I agree with him. The commitment and the word, it must come from leadership. This is not negating other weaknesses of the system. Weaknesses of the system such as inability of achieving the objects as outlined by the Constitution. That local government is a sphere of government that is closest to people, which we are calling it as a cold face. The Constitution then says, this sphere of government, it must be helped through cooperative governance framework.
All right. We're going to continue the conversation in a moment. Minister Nkadimeng, I know you have to dash off. I don't know if there's just one final comment you want to give before you leave.
Well, Kathy, thank you very much. It's a pity I have to rush to another engagement as well. Local government is everybody's business. Pockets of excellence are there in each and even dysfunctional municipalities. There's one or two things that they're doing. And this campaign today is about sifting such, lifting it up, give our communities an open platform to say how they would want to be governed, how they aspire their cities and municipalities to be. And for us as Kongta, Salga, and other stakeholders to be responsive, positive to what these communities want.
All right.
I think that will be my part. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
No problem. Thank you so much for being part of the conversation. Of course, I'm going to continue with Councillor Gabati and Stofile, who represent Salga in this instance. When we look at the role of communities, because, you know, you emphasize what leadership can do in helping turn things around, but it then says that the ball effectively is back in the hands of communities, because communities are the ones who decide who should lead and who should govern them. This issue of councillors, in particular local councillors, and the capacity that they may have or not have, but that they need in order to help run councils effectively. How are you hoping to speak into that conversation with communities and make people fully aware? Because ultimately, the people who become councillors are those that people think are going to be able to change the situation. There's no electricity. Here's somebody who's promising, you know, we can help bring electricity to this area. We are concerned about your issues. As a community, and when you look at the manifesto sometimes and the promises that local councillors are making, some of the things they're promising to deliver are not even within the realm of local government or of municipalities to be delivering, but they're making these promises. People are buying into these promises because there's a vacuum, but also there's a lack of education.
Yes, Sis Katie, you will understand that what councillors or public representatives, you know, they are mostly coming through a political party system. And communities, you know, have a say in the ultimate voting, but the product, they are not necessarily involved in identifying it. And I think it's upon the political parties themselves to strive really to have criteria that will produce the best amongst the community. You know, people that have the necessary skill, they may not have the vast experience of local government, but you know, basic appreciation of literacy, an experience in working with communities, a person who would have spent some time in understanding the local government, how it works, so that you avoid a situation where a person makes a populist statement and make unreasonable commitment. But again, the parties themselves ought to ensure that public representatives, as nominated by them, they stick to the script. And the script is the political party manifesto, which I believe most of the parties, they make realistic commitments. So that you avoid a situation where...
Really? Do they?
Well, I think so. I think so.
Have you read some of these manifestos?
Because of the cooperative governance nature of our country, buttressed in the constitution. As long as we are unable to tease out what is in the corporate governance outlook that the country aspired, and that is why I think the view that is reasonable. Because remember, if you take a business, any business, corporate, closed business, what you refer to it as communities are shareholders of that business. Now he's talking about political parties. Mm-hmm. Remember, in South Africa now, with the new constitutional court judgment of opening communities to participate, in the election. I mean, in local government, you know, you've got individuals that called independent individuals, not coming out of the political parties. Mm-hmm. Now, this is in changing the understanding that communities are shareholders of local government business, and therefore they must take ownership of local government. Like, you invest your resources in making sure that you've got money that you invest into your future. Mm. Therefore, you need to be concerned about local government business. And to me, that is why I think I agree that one issue which SALGA have done over the years is to engage political parties differently, going to 2021 November elections, highlighting the weaknesses of the system over the last 15 years.
Mm.
And how do we then improve from there?
All
I
right.
think this issue that Labati is putting. Therefore, if you look now, we are 6 months into after elections. The product that has been given by political parties, to a certain extent, they've made some consideration on issues that we have highlighted as weaknesses in the system.
I want to quickly take Muzi in Etiquette. Muzi, good morning to you.
Good morning, Teti. Thank you for taking my call. And
hello, Muzi.
Good morning, Teti.
Hi. You have a question for the SALGA officials with us this morning.
Yes, Teti. The question, Teti, I think you are also trying to push them to point a finger. You know, Teti, my question is, before the money goes back to the coffers, to the government, that was not spent by the municipality, there's in my understanding, there is a process between that financial year. There are people who know that we have this 100 rand that we have not utilized from the beginning of the financial year to the end. Now the question is, who is the person who's doing monitoring for this thing? You cannot just say it's a municipality, and SALGA cannot say, no, we are not the boss, we are just a partner. There is a person, the finger must go to the person that did not spend the money that he was supposed to spend, because at the end of the day, the finger goes to the municipal workers, the people who are on the ground, who do not make decisions on how much must you spend. And the communities, when they request for roads, when request for the potholes to be filled, the municipalities are telling them there's no money. But at the end of financial year end, there's the money that has been sitting somewhere, don't know what it was waiting for. But now when it's time for accountability, the finger does not point to one person. Remember, in the previous administration government, there are people who were pointed by the finger. In SAPC, there was Shaud Mutsuneng. In ESCOM, there was a Brian Molefe, and there was a President Zuma. There was all those people. The finger was pointing to the person who it was said is in charge. And even in this case, there's supposed to be a person that the finger goes to. That why the municipalities are failing. Thank you, Katie.
Yeah. All right, Muzi. Thanks for that contribution. And sometimes it points to a poor lack of planning in municipalities around the projects that they are undertaking. But let me give you a chance to respond to Muzi, Councillor Stofile, and also just give us your concluding remarks. It's 11 o'clock.
No. Thank you very much for the question. Who is accountable? If you read and be guided by law, the accountability lies with council. And council delegate responsibility to individuals to perform duties on behalf of council, and thereby council take full responsibility. The issue that we must master is in the planning process, which planning of a municipality is enshrined in the IDP, which is the strategic version, political program of a municipality. Now that program, it must be financed. I think Chairperson Labati spoke earlier on about the role of MPEC chair, because council is made of various committees that play oversight over the resources that the council have declared to be served. Now, in this process, that is why as NSA, we said part of our contribution in this, besides training, using mass program in assisting municipalities, is to also work collaboratively, hold one another's hand, to turn the tide. And probably that is why we have decided to launch this program, so all that right. we have a conversation about how we turn local government around.
All right. Well, I can say you've got to look out for the presence of SALGA under the Asisho campaign. They'll be hitting a community near you soon. Be part of this conversation. Councillor Stofile, Councillor Dlabati, let me thank you both
thank
for
you.
Coming onto the show. It's just after 11 o'clock. Let's take you over to the news desk.